Learn more and pre-register for the event at ucalgary.ca/open house.
iPhone 13 Pro is now at Shaw Mobile, and it comes with a huge camera upgrade, including cinematic mode and 3 all-new cameras. So, you can document your bedroom makeover, make unrivaled unboxing videos, induce FOMO from the top of the mountain, outperform the wedding photographer, and finally build that media empire! I need a nap. Hey Siri, wake me up in 20 minutes. Get iPhone 13 Pro on Shaw Mobile and save hundreds with a $25 unlimited plan. Conditions apply. Available with eligible internet plans. Visit shaw.ca for details.
Home of the best play-by-play and any breaking sports news first. Sportsnet 960, The Fan is on the air. Online at sportsnet.ca/960. And streaming on the Sportsnet app. All sports, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Always live from the iconic studio. Powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Diversity, community, social responsibility. It's Iconic. Contact them at iconicec.ca. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary Sports Station. This is the Colts Corner, the story behind your Calgary Colts junior football team on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This time on the Calgary Colts Corner, receiver Brandon McIsaac talks about the program the Calgary Colts have and the short season for junior football, but really, the off season just as important. It's a 12-month-a-year kind of deal.
And that starts in the weight room before the season starts, because you want to win, but all that effort that goes into winning is done in the off season. And so that's definitely a point we need to focus on, is those team sessions and those team trainings, is getting the majority of the team out there. And we've done a great job in recruiting. There's so much talent in Calgary when it comes to football. I heard this stat, I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, there's more high schools that play football in Calgary than there is in the entire province of BC. So there's so much talent, and you have to recruit that talent here. And I think in the past that's somewhere where we may have lacked. And in the last couple of years, you can see it with all the young guys on the team that are stepping up and making plays this year.
Follow the Calgary Colts right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Supported by Allardyce Bauer Consulting.
The Flames preseason begins Sunday. Flames and Oilers from the Saddle Dome. Pregame with Steinberg starts at 6 p.m. with play-by-play starting at 7. On the air and streaming online on your phone, tablet, and smart speaker. Flames hockey on any device. Derek Wills and Peter Loubardius are back with the play-by-play of every game all season. Calgary Flames hockey is back. Join the crew for the post-game breakdown of the Flames and Oilers right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is CFAC 960 AM, broadcasting from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Stream at sportsnet.ca/960. Owned and operated by Rogers Sports and Media. This is the latest from the 660 News Traffic Center.
Still see a brutal backup on Deerfoot Trail, a crash in the northeast approaching McKnight Boulevard, the northbound left-hand lane and shoulder tied up from beyond 17th Avenue to McKnight. It is a jungle and adds about 30 minutes to your northbound ride. Also have a stall now on Glenmore Trail approaching the Center Street Fairmount Drive over past the eastbound right lane blocked off. It is starting to get glacial on Glenmore. And in the 660 News Traffic Center, I'm Trace Ventura.
Have you heard of Chinook Gate? Larger living with a smaller price tag. Learn more at chinookgate.com, a community by Brookfield Residential.
The fastest hour of radio in Calgary. This is the Sports Drive at 5 on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Your drive home is underway on a Friday. Happy Friday. Welcome back to Zero Latency and welcome to the Sports Drive at 5. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Hoping that your week has gone along well. Looking forward to the weekend. Lots to get to. If You heard Will and I, if you've been listening all day, you heard Will and I talking about Blake Coleman a little earlier. Really, really good introduction and a really good first media availability with Blake Coleman, one of the newest members of the Calgary Flames. We'll hear from him and another really good introduction to the media from Nikita Zadorov. We'll hear from both of those guys coming up in the Sports Drive at 5. And we're leading you up to Jays baseball, Blue Jays Twins, as Toronto's playoff push continues tonight. 6:10 first pitch. You'll hear the game in its entirety here on Sports Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But right now, to kick off the Sports Drive at 5, it's time for Eric Francis Fridays, brought to you by our friends at Hyatt Infinity. Save up to $18,400 on selected executive-driven models. Visit Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road, on Luxury Lane. You can hop into that QX55 that Mr. Francis is rolling in. I'm in the Q50S if you're looking for a little more, a car, sleek car ride, the crossover QX55. They're all beautiful at Hyatt Infinity. Hello, Mr. Francis. What's going on?
Life is good. I'm thrilled that you guys are at zero latency on Tilt. Have you gone in there yet? And
I did it.
On
yep.
The VR goggles.
That I sure
is
did.
A rush.
I did it. So Will was interviewing. Will's going to do it right now. I did it an hour ago when our NFL insider, Jason Lockenfora, was chatting with Will. We played the zombie undead game. I finished fourth, but I got a lot of headshots. I was terrified the entire time. I was screaming. I didn't die, and it feels like real life. It is actually the most fun. It was so much fun. I was expecting it to be cool. I was not expecting it to be as realistic as that. Yeah, I played the Undead Arena is what I played, and it was quite fun.
It's quite amazing. You know, they tell you every once in a while, if it starts getting a little too intense, just flip up your goggles, and then you realize you're just in a well-lit warehouse, basically. But jumping into the helicopter at one point and climbing upstairs and walking along a ledge, and these things all, it's amazing. When Stephen Gillette, the owner there, was first entertaining the idea of bringing this to Calgary, I was in Vegas with him at the time, and we went and did it there. And I was like, shooting zombies. I don't know. It doesn't sound that fun to me. I was corrected quickly because it is a total rut. You come out of there sweating like crazy because you can't believe what a battle you felt like you were just in, even though it was all basically a figment of your imagination. Anyway, cool. Glad you're promoting a local business that's got a really cool product, and I hope people get out there and sample it because it is a unique way. Like, I'm just going to get some guys that I always golf with. Now the golf season's pretty much, you know, coming to a close over the next couple of weeks. I'm planning on organizing some gatherings with them to go shoot some zombies and machines. And then they got a bar there in the facility, as I'm sure you've mentioned to people.
Well, we're sitting right near the bar. They got the full craft beer menu. They got the pub style menu. It's a really cool spot. They got the pool tables. They got the arcade. Like, this is a cool spot. Come on. Like, it's a great spot to hang out. You can have a few drinks before you go play. Go play, come back out, have a few more drinks. They got all the TVs, watch the game, whatever the case may be. Really, really cool spot. So I absolutely 100% endorse the zero latency experience. And, don't scream like a four-year-old like I did, because it probably would hurt everybody else's ears. But otherwise, have fun, fill your boots, and it's a pretty cool experience. What has the experience been like so far for you through 2 days of training camp? It feels way too normal. It's very strange.
A little bit, yeah. We're getting there, right? I mean, we were actually face to face with players this week. We haven't done that for a couple of years, it feels like. I got to tell you, the overwhelming feeling I have when I look at this team now, and I guess I'm talking mostly just about the forward lines, is, you know, I feel like for the first time in several years, everybody's slotted where they should be. You know, there's no more of this, they're hoping that, you know, for example, Dylan Dubé can play second line minutes, and I have no doubt that at some point Dylan Dubé will play second line minutes. But right now, like, he's proven that he's not really ready for it, right? And now I feel like they've got a bona fide top six. With Coleman in there, it just makes all the six guys on their top two lines legitimate scorers. They all are legitimate scorers in the National Hockey League. And then the bottom six guys, you know, they're where they need to be, you know, I'll call it the all the King's men line on the third line. That's fascinating to me, you know, three muckers, old veterans. And then the guys on the third line, I think, you know, slot in well with Backlund and Dubé and Pitlick. So I don't know. I think a lot of people are a little nervous about this season because changes weren't made to the core, but I think that one change they made with Coleman is a huge addition. And I think people are really going to like this guy, too. I think you're going to love him for a lot of reasons, but because he plays a good, honest hockey, 200-foot. But I also think he's going to score 20, 25 goals, especially if he stays on that top line. So, I guess the more I see of them, the more optimistic I get that they can maybe nail down, you know, or at least chase very hard a position, mm-hmm. you know, a top three position in the Pacific. Not no one, you know, not chasing the division crown or anything like that, but, you know, there's hope that they can make this playoffs. I really am seeing more and more of that.
How much of that is related to the fact that Daryl Sutter is here for a full season? They've got this head coach to start the season. How much does that kind of play into your optimism about what they could do this year?
You know, I think that's really well put, that question, because love him or hate him, or if you think he's outdated or if he's still innovative enough to be successful in today's game, I would submit to you that Daryl Sutter is one of the biggest reasons for optimism, because if these guys can buy into a program, and that was their problem the last year, certainly last year, nobody bought into anything, it seemed, and they didn't know what they were. At least now there's a guy who's telling you from day one. These guys know, especially because they had a little experience last year. They know what they're supposed to be. They know what they better be if they want ice time. And they know what it's going to take for them to have success. I don't know how far that's going to take them, but I will say that I think that he is, should be one of the biggest reasons for optimism. I really do. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a fan of him or not, or if you he does represent a very simple game plan. And I think that game plan, given this weak division, might just be enough. Like I said, you know, again, I haven't been this optimistic all summer, but the more I look at the team and the more I see the way guys slot in, you know, the defense is a big question mark. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And that's going to be their biggest Achilles heel, I think. And Sutter even alluded to that yesterday, saying, hey, I've got to work really, really closely with these guys and figure out what the best combos are. And the GM even keeps talking about, hey, if we can get better, we're still going to look at ways to get better, because I still think they have $1 million in cap space still. You know, they could maybe bring in a depth guy or a waiver claim. Who knows? But, you know, it's if they play Sutter hockey, you know, we're certainly not going to be surprised by the way it's going to go, right? On the back of a goaltender like this and a defense-first system, you know, they're going to win their games 2-1, 3-2, not much more. And maybe that's the recipe for success.
In conversation with Sportsnet's Eric Francis. Eric Francis Fridays here on the Sports Drive at 5. Sean Monahan's revelation yesterday that he sustained that hip injury like 6 games into last season. That was a bit of a stunner. Like, I think most of us were kind of under the impression maybe halfway through the season, sometime in the second half of the season. But he essentially played the entire year last year with that hip injury. And, you know, he was very quick not to use it as an excuse. And we've seen him have some injury issues before. But I don't know. It changed the way that I looked at last season and kind of, I don't want to say mea culpa, but, you know, I definitely would back off on some of the harsh criticism I had for him, knowing that he was playing through that significant an injury for that long. And I think it also at the same time backed off some of my criticism or made me rethink a little bit of that. But also, it ups my optimism a little bit for what he could be this year if indeed it's behind him and if indeed he'll be able to be at 100% this year. So that was quite the revelation. Are you on the same page with how much it struck you and maybe how much it changed the way you looked at the player?
I agree. Yes, I was struck by it. And I was the one who asked him about when it happened. And he said, I don't know. And then I kind of pressed him on it a little more. And that's when he said 6 games in. And I think you and I are right. I think we both kind of assumed, many people assumed it happened late in the season. Mm-hmm. And that would have explained how late in the season he was really fading. But, yeah, good on him. He didn't complain about it. And I was a big proponent last year of splitting him and Monahan and Gaudreau up just to see what you had there. A, because I thought one or two of them might have been moved in the off season, and you wanted to see what they could do without one another. But B, you know, get Gaudreau away from Monahan, who was really struggling, And again, in light of what we now know, we realize why he was struggling. And I fully believe that that's why he was struggling. This guy's numbers are stellar. And this market is so hard on him. Me too. I think the standard we've set this guy to is, you know, quite unbelievable. When you factor in last year, I know this shocked a lot of people. When he hit 200, what was it? He hit 200 goals, 200 points, was it? Faster than anybody other than...
it was 200 goals, I believe. I believe it was he was the first to 200 goals in that draft class, I believe.
Ahead of MacKinnon.
Like, yeah.
You know, everybody, like, maybe, just maybe we're a little too hard on this guy, you know. But, again, he's played with one of the best playmakers in the game and Johnny Gaudreau, too. So, either way, press the reset button, right? Like, what we thought of him last year and thinking that maybe he's finished for, you know, let's give him another chance. And to that point, as much as I was supporting spreading those two guys out, I think the way that these lines are now, and again, they're all subject to change tomorrow or throughout the entire season, but I think, how can you go against that chemistry those two guys have built? How can you go against the fact that they love playing with each other and know instinctually where they each are at all times? Mm-hmm. Again, we all kind of, I think, got frustrated because it wasn't working last year and couldn't figure out why. Now we know why. And I think it only stands to reason that you go back to them together again because they've had such success. So, and I also just like the way that first line is made up without either one of them on it. Because I remember having conversations with Jeff Ward before he was gone about how he thought that insulating Gaudreau and Monahan was the way to go. And that was something he was pushing for very much last year. If those guys could be successful as second liners, even more optimism that this team can make the playoffs this year. If they can get away from the other team's top checkers, that is mm-hmm. a huge, huge coup for this team. And it would only open up more possibilities for those two guys.
Well, and it's also funny is talking about that and talking about the fact that, you know, those guys are going to at least start the season. It looks like we think they're going to play with one another. You know, the other thing is that it seemed to really fire up Johnny when he was talking yesterday. He seemed pretty excited about the prospect of playing with Sean again. And I know that there was a lot of success had with him, Lindholm, and Tkachuk last year, but Johnny seemed pretty fired up about playing with Monahan again. So that struck me. So I'm intrigued by it. When I was doing up my own mock lines for the year, this is another reason, not like you need more, but another reason why I'm probably not a coach. But I had Coleman with a lot of different guys. I did not have him with Lindholm and Tkachuk. I almost had written in pen Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk starting with each other, but I like the idea. I'm with you. Having Coleman there, see how that works. And whether it's Mangiapane who sticks with Monahan and Gaudreau or somebody else, I think that if those combinations work, and if Monahan is back closer to the form that you just talked about from the large portion of his career, this team all of a sudden starts to present some forward matchup issues for a lot of teams in the division, a lot of teams in the league. Not every team, but it starts to create some matchup problems for sure.
And, you know, I think that with these lines that Sutter's opened with, you know, I think there are probably some people out there that are saying, wow, okay, so you got Coleman, yeah, great signing because he's a 200-foot player, but he's not a first liner. He's not on the top line. Shouldn't be on the top line. Well, I'm going to tell everyone, like, when he was in New Jersey, the year he got traded to Tampa Bay, I think we all remember he got up to this incredible start. He had 22 goals in, like, 57. He was on pace for more than 30 goals that year as one of New Jersey's, you know, only or best snipers, right? And so this guy can be a 30-goal scorer in the National Hockey League. And I think the bare minimum this year, certainly if he's on that top line, would be 20, 25. And I don't think that would be a shocker to anyone. But I guess all I'm saying is don't be fooled into thinking that just because he was, quote-unquote, on the third line in Tampa Bay, which arguably was their best line throughout the entire playoffs, it's hard to say that they'd be better than Point and Kucherov, okay? But I'm saying those guys were so consistent. The last 5 minutes of every single game, they were on the ice. And they played second most minutes on the team, not third line minutes. They played second line minutes, even though they were slotted in the third line. So my point is this. Don't think Coleman is just a mucker or a third line grinder like Barkley Goodrow, and that they're trying to put him a square peg in a round hole. This guy's a bona fide scorer in the National Hockey League. He's proven it. He's got a point every two games over the last two playoff seasons. So that's pretty impressive, especially on, you know, second, third line minutes, however you want to call it. So this guy is, I think that's a nice fit on the top line. I think it's going to work out very well. And even if he gets demoted to, say, the second line with Gaudreau and Monahan, I still think he's going to have a lot of success offensively, which is where they really need him as well as playing a 200-foot game.
What's your feel on Johnny? You asked him the question that everybody was waiting somebody to ask yesterday about the contract, and he said what we were all expecting him to say. It's between my agent and Tree, and I'm probably not going to talk much about it throughout the season. So what's your read? Here we are, season's a month away, training camp's underway, and Johnny Gaudreau is not under contract for next year.
Well, I got no problem with him deciding he's not going to talk about it. I mean, I think that's a smart thing. I hate it as a journalist, but, you know, I have no problem with that stance. I think so much depends on how this season goes. In particular, I think so much depends on how this season starts. You know, put a gun to my head and say I got to lay money on it, I'm still saying he's gone by the trade deadline.
Okay.
And I'd even probably lay that money there even if the Flames are in a playoff spot. But if they're not in a playoff spot, or they, you know, for some reason fall way behind and they're pretty much out of it by Christmas or January or February, then I think then it's a no-brainer. He's traded at the deadline. Is there a chance they could still sign him? Sure. Absolutely. Because I think it was proven in the offseason that there wasn't much of a market for him. And this is all about asset management. At some point you might just say, well, look, even if we try to trade him at the deadline, we're not sure we're going to get much value for him. And by the way, I think they will get good value for him at the deadline. But don't forget, they're only dealing with five teams on his list. And all those teams, I'm led to believe, are up against the cap. So tough. It'll be tough. So, you know, at the end of the day, they may just say, you know what? We don't think that we could just give him away for what people are willing to pay for him. So we're going to sign him. And then maybe you look to trade him a year or two down the road after that. Or not. Not. And again, I think there's always been a misconception that I'm either trying to run Johnny out of town. I just don't think that, you know, he's the kind of guy you want to build your franchise around. I think he'd be a phenomenal second-line winger. If that works this year, then all the more reason to sign him. But at what cost? I mean, that's the biggest question, right? If it's in the $9 million range, not a chance. If it's in the $7 million range, I think they can talk. And the big question is his camp feeding him the belief that if he goes to unrestricted free agency, that someone will pay him nine or thereabouts?
Yeah.
Is he signing for far less than market value to stay here? That's something that the player has to wrestle with. And I still think for most players in hockey, you get a year or less than a year away from unrestricted free agency, man, you really have to convince me to sign. Otherwise, why not take a peek at what's out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like my gut says, if I were to be a betting man myself, I still think he is going to re-sign here. But the fascinating part is I've heard the same thing when it comes to now that the modified no-trade clause is a part of the conversation, is that if they were to explore a trade, they're not necessarily going to make it the easiest thing to do because a lot of those teams, it would be tough to make the deal because they're all tight to the cap. That's another interesting wrinkle to the thing. I've heard similar things. So that's going to be interesting to watch regardless how this thing goes.
Exactly. And sorry, I know we got to go, but, you know, again, like is Johnny the type of ad that people around the league look at and say, if we get a guy like Johnny Gaudreau, that could put us over the top in the playoffs? Like, history has shown that playoffs is where he's really played, you know, some of his worst hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you're willing to overpay or pay significantly for a guy like that. Hey, if you could add him for your second or third line, like a Tyler Johnson, the way his role kind of morphed over the years, that could be a tremendous asset. But I just don't know how much teams are willing to pay for that, especially when they know they've got the Flames, in a bind because they have to deal with those five teams. Anyway, it'll be fascinating. I don't think it'll be a distraction this year. I really don't. I think Shawnee, you know, if he gets off to a good start, people won't be talking too much about it until we get closer to the trade deadline.
First time since Jerome, though, right, that they've gone into a season with a star player facing unrestricted free agency like this. Because I remember the first day of training camp of Jerome's last year, it was the lockout shortened season. He did the same thing, came out and said, hey, I'm going to address my contract now, and then I'm not going to talk about it the rest of the year. It's been a while since we've had a contract thing like this of a player of Johnny's magnitude kind of being part of the Flames narrative.
Get used to it, because next year we're going into next season with Tkachuk and Mangiapane in a similar position,
yep,
is my prediction.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know what? We get ahead of ourselves too much, you know.
No, not in this industry. Never.
I know. But, you know, sometimes you look at guys, you go, oh, well, they only have 2 years left or 3 years left of control of Lindholm. Or, like, that's still three full years. You know what I mean? Like, we get way too far ahead of ourselves. But, yeah, I did want to throw a little prediction in there that we're looking at a very similar situation next year with Mangiapane and Tkachuk, with this, you know, staring into the last year before they can either one of them can walk into unrestricted free agency.
Tell us about Hyatt Infinity, my friend.
Oh, I just, you know, I love that what you summed up earlier. That QX55 I'm driving, it's kind of like a sports car SUV, if that makes sense. It's this incredible hybrid. Like, it's got zip to it and lots of room for the dog and the kids in the back. It's awesome. Anyway, yeah, I love it. Love it. And I know you love zipping around in your 50. And I've yet to get a call from Anthony saying that I have a speeding ticket, which is great, great news.
Yep. Fingers crossed. Knock on wood. Let's keep that trend going, because I don't need one. I don't need one. I could do without one. Be well, my friend. Good stuff, franchise. We'll talk next Friday. Probably see you tomorrow at the Dome.
We will, my friend. Talk care. Take care. Thanks. Good chat with you, buddy.